Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 13. Looking at two verses in John's Gospel, chapter 13. If you're new to Central, we've adopted four new church aims: listen, pray, love, and serve. And this morning, we reach love. So we're talking about our third aim, glorifying God as we love his people. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then flick forward to chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Father God, we want to be as a church what you've called us to be. You've given us the privilege of being involved in your mission in this world. And you've planted us here in this city of Dundee. And for that we thank you. Lord, we pray for our world, even this week on our television screens and on radio. And in media, we've seen again the wickedness of sinful men. We have seen suffering across the globe. We have seen acts of terror that remind us how much this world needs the love of Christ. And so we ask, Lord, that in our own way here, we will be a bastion of love, that we will be what you've called us to be in a world that talks so much about love but knows so little of it. We pray, Lord, for our missions family, whatever they are just now across the world. Ask your blessing upon them. Thank you for this partnership that we have in the gospel with them. We pray, Lord, for our children who have just left us to go to creche and Sunday school and Bible class. We pray that they might hear of a love that is, as one we once said this morning, eternal. Oh God, we pray for them, that they might know and experience the love of Christ, taking hold of their hearts. And for us, Lord, we pray. We come in all our need, but we find in you all that we need for this life and the life to come. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as we reflect upon your gospel again, that your Spirit would do his work for your glory. Lord, make the word live for us. Thank you for it and for the way it speaks to us. And glorify your name in these moments together, we pray. Amen. Let's turn then to God's words, John 13, 34 and 35, principally this morning. as we look at the theme of love. Well, I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Love is all around me, and so the feeling grows. I was, when I come into work in the office, which is just across the road, before I go into the office in the morning, I like to have a little wander around Dundee, just to blow the cobwebs away. And on Monday, I parked the car behind the church, and I was walking along by D.C. Thompson's building, along by the McManus. And as I'm walking by the McManus, this couple walked around the corner. They were holding hands, and they stopped outside an office block. She was clearly working in there. And they stopped, and they turned and they faced each other, and they smiled, and they embraced, and then he gave her a tender kiss on the lips. And she skipped up the stairs. It was a beautiful moment. A beautiful moment. And I'm sure that they were delighted to share it with me that morning. But if we look for them, we can find these moments all around. The love that we talk about today is not just nice. It is divine love. It is eternal love. It is exemplified in the person of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing that so many Christians miss, it is absolutely necessary in the mission of God and of the gospel. Sometimes we think about the love of God as simply being God's love for me and my love for him, which is true, but it is so much more than that. It is a love that we are brought into and that we share in the community of the Spirit, the church. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So do you get the connection that Jesus makes here? You say that you love me. Great. You also, if you love me, must love one another because my love has been shed abroad in your hearts. You love me, you've got to love one another. And as you do that, you back up the message of the gospel that's been preached. It becomes seen, it becomes visual as people come to understand what it means to be part of a local church. Love one another, said Jesus, as I have loved you. How does that work? Really? As I have loved you? I don't know how you feel when you really think about that, but I feel as though I'm toast before I even try. Really? How do we love like Jesus? Well, we can never love fully like Jesus, but nevertheless, he gives us the gold standard here. That being the love of God expressed in him. And secondly, he has also given us the Holy Spirit, whose work in us makes us more like Jesus. So before we go anywhere, let's not diminish the power of the words of the Lord here. He says what he says. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Not just with words, but with actions. The word that's used for love here is agapeo, which means self-giving, self-sacrificial love. And Jesus did that all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. So here it is. Love one another as I have loved you. It's what he says. If we could do this perfectly, then we wouldn't need Jesus. But it's the aim he gives, and it's to be our name as we carry the awareness of our sinfulness. And that's really important to say to you. Because when this is taught, there are two dangers, at least two dangers that emerge. And the first one is that in order to try and comply with what Jesus says here, we become hypocritical. We put on a mask and pretend that things are perfect in our lives and we're loving everyone, when inside sometimes we're seething. So the first danger is that of hypocrisy. And the second danger is that of despair. I can't do this, so I'm not even going to try. But you see, what Christ calls us to is that gold standard of his love as we carry the awareness of our own failings and sinfulness and need of his Spirit to help us. And that avoids the dangers of hypocrisy or despair. And do you know something? Some of the greatest insights that we can get into ourselves, and some of the greatest insights others can get into us, happen when we fail. And how we respond to that failure, because we are Christians. And we do things differently. So you lose the rag with that colleague at work. And you think, oh no, Lord, epic fail. Well, you're the one that goes back and apologizes and takes them a cup of coffee. Because of that love of Christ that's in your heart. Jesus speaks about a new commandment, but it sounds very much here like he's citing an old commandment. Leviticus 19, verse 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Even the Lord Jesus was asked one day, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, 37. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, some commentators, believe it or not, say that they feel that Jesus has just lowered the bar a little here, because previously he's been talking about loving your neighbor, whoever they are. And now he's talking about loving Christians, the fellowship of the local church. By this shall everyone know that you're my disciples if you love one another. But Jesus is not lowering the bar. The very fact that we have healthy, loving communities of God's people is a blessing to the city that we live in and the world that we serve for Jesus' sake. And secondly, you know, as I was thinking about that this week, I thought, have any of these lowering the standard blokes ever been part of a church? I mean, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to be part of a church, sometimes, is it? Sometimes we drive each other crackers, don't we? Some of us were crackers in the first place, but we do, don't we? You know the old saying, you know, to live above with saints we love, oh, then that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. But I tell you this, when the chips are down, there is no better place to be than the fellowship of God's people. And I know that personally. And sometimes I believe the Lord allows things into our lives and into our church life to remind us of that. I couldn't resist this little sidebar. One of the things that's so important for us as Christians these days is our confidence in the Word of God. And the reading today was divided by a chapter and a bit. And it just really speaks to me of the authenticity of Scripture. Jesus gives this commandment that we read in chapter 13, this love thing, but the minds of the disciples are somewhere else. They are thinking not about what Jesus is saying, but about what he has said previously about leaving them. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another, etc. And Peter's mind is in a different place. He says, Lord, where are you going? Because he's not listening to what Jesus is saying here. And it's chapter 15, the second part that we read, before they get back on track again. Now, it just sounds like a real conversation. And the reason for that is, it was a real conversation. recalled by John as the Holy Spirit brings it all back to him, and it rings true. And so what Jesus is saying here is true. And part of his own interaction with his own disciples, whose minds are somewhere else at times, and he brings them back to this theme of love. He deals with their doubts and their fears, then he brings them back to this theme of love. What is it that makes this a new commandment then, given that it has similarities to Old Testament and Jesus' previous use of similar words? What is it that makes this new? Well, what makes it new here is this. There is a new explicit standard. And that standard is the standard of Jesus Christ and of his agapeo love. And secondly, what makes this new is it's given to the fellowship of the Spirit, those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Agapeo is self-giving love. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Looking at this under two headings, what love and why love? These are the two headings. What love? Question mark. And why love? Question mark. What love? It is the love of God in Trinity expressed in the Son of God. Why love? Because as that love of Christ is seen in Christian community, the message of the gospel is heard, and that message is always authentic. But here is the point. It is authenticated in the minds of unbelievers as they hear what they hear and then see it in the local church. So the gospel has a context, and that context is a gospel people. First of all, then, what love? We're talking about the love of God here from eternity that has been, as Paul says in Romans 5, poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And it has an impact upon us. You see, wherever God is at work by the Holy Spirit, he replicates something of that community and Trinity that is his in the community that he creates. So in that great sweep of atonement, we are brought through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ into a relationship with God the Father. And at the same time, in that single atoning sweep, we are also brought within the fellowship of the family of God. It's amazing that God in love would do this. This does not mean that we are perfect, but it does mean that to some degree together, we together are to reflect the nature of the triune God and commend the gospel to others. My mind always, well, frequently tracks to John 17. It's one of my favorite parts of the New Testament. That high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, verse 20, chapter 17, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Again, there's the connection that Jesus makes between what his people are and what God does through them. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Here is Jesus just prior to the cross, and he's leaning back into the essence of God's nature and love, and his prayer is that his people would be made one in it. "A new command I give you, love one another as I, God incarnate, have loved you, so you must love one another." The context of this passage is so important as well. If you look back in chapter 13, there you'll find Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And of course, Peter, who else would say, "Lord, not me"? And Jesus says, "Yes, you." And then Peter says, quite typically, "Well, then, Lord, all of me, wash all of me." And Jesus says, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. Because Jesus said that, because he was on the way to the cross so that they would be cleansed. So the context is that Jesus is serving his disciples. And secondly, it is also Passover time, that festival that pointed to the cross. We are told it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. What love? The love of God in Trinity expressed in the Son of God in time. It is agapeo. It is self-giving love. And Jesus is giving that standard here. It's the gold standard. The love of God expressed in him. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And this is the command of Christ. It's not an option. It is a command. And this kind of love is so often a decision. God did not choose us because we were cute. He chose us because he set his love upon us. What love? The love of God from eternity. Why love? Well, you know, I visited a Bible college many years ago to visit a friend who was studying there. And at that Bible college, at mealtimes, they had a rule. And the rule was at mealtimes that you weren't allowed to ask for anything. So you couldn't say, pass the chips, please. Or can I have some tomato sauce? You weren't allowed to say that. You had to wait for someone to say, would you like some chips? So, can you guess what happened among the students? It was hilarious. They just worked out a code to get around it. So the language changed. So, would you like some chips? Really came to mean, I'd like some chips, and I'd like you to ask me if I'd like some. You can't impose, and this was all for the purpose of creating a community fit for Christian mission. But it just became hilarious. We don't make Christian community that way. The Holy Spirit does that. But we are called to maintain it. Paul says in Ephesians 4, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's a good verse for when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, because they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't grieve a power. You can't grieve the electricity in your house, can you? But you can grieve a person. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid, says Paul, of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the key, isn't it? Just as in Christ God forgave you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, it's when we forget that we become unforgiving. It's when we forget what God has done for us in Christ that we become bitter and narrowed and angry and slanderous. Paul writes this not because it's just a good idea, because it is something that affects God's glory as it's presented to the world, and it's a gospel issue. The Christian church should be a place of reality where we are able to speak to one another in love. And again, that's coded language in churches. If you're a new Christian and someone comes up to you and says, I want to say something to you in love, start running because you're in trouble, okay? But we should have that reality of relationship among us, without grieving the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I wasn't thinking so much of you, I was thinking more of myself, that God uses failing people like us in churches like ours all around the world for his glory. And somehow the kingdom is growing. It's growing. It's God's modus operandi to work through weakness for his glory. And of course, the primary example of that is the cross. The cross was the most ridiculous message to bring into a pride-ridden Greco-Roman world. Yet Paul writes that it undermined the wisdom of the wise. He says in 1 Corinthians 1, the world through its wisdom did not know him, but God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And we look at ourselves in comparison to the powers that be around us, and we're not much to look at. We're not impressive in the eyes of the world. But that's not the point. We're called of God for a gospel purpose. His intent, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, is that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It's how God works, and do you know what? It works. Jesus said to these frail and failing disciples, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And in that high priestly prayer that we read earlier, he makes the same connection. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. What we are together, God's people, in our third aim, could not be more important. For what we are together serves the purpose of God's glory and the progress of the gospel, or it should do. Peter, in his epistle, gives the heads up regarding the badge of true discipleship. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, what is the thing that he says next that is the badge of Christian discipleship? It's not just getting your doctrine right. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that is important. It's always important. But what is the badge of Christian discipleship? It is this, so that you have sincere love for each other. You see, the Bible doesn't turn people into suicide bombers. The Bible, correctly understood, makes people like Jesus. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, that's the badge. He says, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring, and enduring word of God. The word of God in us produces the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And this works for the glory of God and for the advance of the gospel. Paul again, Galatians 6, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, he says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The gospel is not a grenade that we throw. It's a message that we bring backed up with love. What a commandment Jesus gives to us. What is this love? It is the love of God in Trinity, expressed in the Son of God in time. It is agapeo. It is self-giving love. Are you always into yourself, thinking about yourself all your time, and your feelings and all that kind of stuff? And it's just, maybe you need to climb out of yourself a wee bit. Recognize what that word agapeo means, and recognize what Jesus did for you. What love? This is the love. It is agapeo love. It is God's love revealed in Christ. Why love? Because as that love of Christ is seen in Christian community, the message of the gospel is authenticated in the minds of unbelievers. It's so important. It really is so important. And some of you say, why do we spend a lot of time in Central talking about church? This is why, because it's a gospel issue. It's a God's glory issue. As we come into our relationship with God in that same wonderful sweep of atonement, we are brought into the fellowship of the church too. And commitment to the church universal is always expressed in the New Testament, in commitment to the church local. I just don't understand people who say, I don't see membership in the Bible, so I'm not going to be a member. I just can't get that, because it's everywhere. Every metaphor that's used for the church speaks about the cohesion of God's people. We can't have church discipline. You can't put someone out of the church if they're not in it in the first place. It's there. It's a very gospel issue itself. This love is not just a feeling, but a commitment with gospel implications. Because we're Westerners, we tend to think about love in romantic terms. But you know, in other parts of the world where marriages are sometimes arranged, it is out of that commitment that the love grows. And that's much closer, actually, to Christian love. It is out of a commitment that love grows. As others looking in see the love we have for each other, the gospel they have heard is made visible in a committed body of believers. Being part of a local church is a gospel statement, even where there are differences. You know, a friend of mine posted something this week that I found really helpful. Two of the great figures in church history in the UK were John Wesley and George Whitfield, two mighty evangelists that were used of God. And John Wesley and George Whitfield didn't agree. John Wesley was very much influenced by Jacobus Arminius, who was a Dutch theologian, who believed more towards the man's choosing side. And George Whitfield was a Calvinist. He could see much in the teachings of John Calvin which pointed him towards God's preeminence in salvation and God's choosing. And they had a bit of a fallout. But then here's what they said of each other. John Wesley said of George Whitfield, he was a bright star in the firmament of God's glory. And that one day in heaven, he would be so near the throne that one like me, said Wesley, will never catch a glimpse of him. And George Whitfield said of Wesley after the disagreement, may all disputes cease. And each of us talk nothing but Jesus and him crucified. My brother, I find I love you as much as ever. And pray God, if it be his blessed will, that we may all be united together. And I read that as my pal posted it this week, and I thought, was that the secret of these great evangelists? That they had hearts of love for Jesus, and even for those within the family of God that they disagreed with. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that, to me, is a great example of it. So then, love is a feeling, but it's also a commitment. Where does this land with you? Do you know the love of God? Or is this a bit of a mystery to you this morning? We've got leaflets here that we can happily give you, and we'll spend time with you to explain the love that we were talking about with the kids this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. The response to Jesus comes in a concrete form, and that concrete form is baptism. Believe and be baptized. Are you holding back on that? If needs be, Angus and I'll put in a few extra hours this week and we'll prepare you for baptism next Sunday. Are you holding back on your commitment of love? Or maybe it's church membership. Are you healthily connected as part of God's people? It's what the scriptures teach. Talk to us. We'll be happy to answer your questions or find someone who can. Love one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we bless you for your word. How different it is to the wisdom of men and women. We come and we commit ourselves afresh to be a healthy, loving gospel community here for the glory of your name and for the advance of your gospel. Praying in Jesus' name.